So women are definitely thinking that the copywriting, the words are the blocker, right? They're thinking that that is the reason that maybe they're not seeing the success that they're looking for in their business. So certainly if you are listening to this and you are like, I have put so much power into the copywriting, you know, the words on my website, the words on my social media, et cetera, this episode is definitely for you. And to Karen's point about like, if this is a gift for you, then it might not hold that same power, right? Because you're already comfortable with the words. You know, you probably keep it kind of brief. It's got your flair. That's great. But if you're thinking, I feel like I can't make money in my business, I can't book any clients, I can't launch my website or remove the coming soon page off of my website because the words are stopping me, and I don't know what to say, and I don't want to appear like an amateur, and I'm going to overcompensate, and all these different things that we do with copywriting. I can't do X until the copywriting is done. That's what we're talking about today. Welcome to Making Website Magic, where we empower women to step boldly into their web design businesses, follow their intuition, and claim the success they're worthy of. I'm Sam Munoz.
And I'm Karen Page. We're the tech wizards behind Sam Munoz Consulting and the Making Website Magic School of Business. We're two women here to talk about what it actually takes to run a web design business that's aligned with your vision.
Spoiler alert, it probably isn't what you think it is. Ready to hear about everything from refining your business vision, networking with intention, and creating a magical client experience?
Let's do it.
Why, hello there, Karen. How are you doing today?
Sam, hello. I'm doing really, really good. Again, I'm like super galvanized and ready to dive into this conversation because it's actually one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yes. So we like plan our episodes ahead of time. And typically right before the episode, we finalize our thoughts, get our outline going, and we can always tell when the episode is going to be really exciting and fiery, when we are just typing down notes and notes and notes and where we have to stop ourselves. And this is one of those episodes today because we're talking about how copywriting is not the problem. It's not the thing that's preventing you from success in your business. But before we do that, we want to read a review. Go ahead, Karen, take it away.
Okay, so this awesome review says, I'm so excited for this podcast. I've known Sam for several years and am always inspired by the insights she brings into this entrepreneurial journey. She and Karen are taking on deprogramming toxic norms in the tech and online entrepreneur industry that ultimately impact women in all spaces. I am so here for that. Plus, they are fun and engaging to listen to. Whether you build websites or just have a website, definitely check this podcast out. So, yeah.
So speaking of deprogramming from that review, that is definitely, definitely something we are talking about in today's episode, because I think that there is this huge idea that copywriting is the savior for your business. And as usual, ladies, this is a case of the business model, right? And I just want to start by saying this isn't about shaming. This is really about opening your eyes to another perspective, which is something that I hope we do on this podcast in general. It's always to say, hey, this is something that you might have been told, but also there's another way. There's like 10 other ways, and you get to decide which is the right way for you. But as always, we should start off by mentioning why we're talking about this topic in the first place.
This is something we see a lot. Now, again, a total caveat, right? Like, if you enjoy copywriting and it's fun for you, it brings you joy, like it's a gift for you, then it might not be like as impactful, right? But this is really for the woman who is thinking that the words are the issue, right? That are preventing her from like taking success or having success in her business. But here's the thing. We see this a lot, like on several many websites for women who are web designers, right? We see this a lot on Instagram. We see this obstacle of, I either don't know what to say, or I need to hire somebody, or like, that's the thing.
So women are definitely thinking that the copywriting, the words are the blocker, right? They're thinking that that is the reason that maybe they're not seeing the success that they're looking for in their business. So certainly if you are listening to this and you are like, I have put so much power into the copywriting, you know, the words on my website, the words on my social media, et cetera, this episode is definitely for you. And to Karen's point about like, if this is a gift for you, then it might not hold that same power, right? Because you're already comfortable with the words. You know, you probably keep it kind of brief. it's got your flair, that's great. But if you're thinking, I feel like I can't make money in my business, I can't book any clients, I can't launch my website or remove the coming soon page off of my website because the words are stopping me, and I don't know what to say, and I don't want to appear like an amateur, and I'm going to overcompensate, and all these different things that we do with copywriting, I can't do X until the copywriting is done. That's what we're talking about today.
That I can't do X until the copywriting is done. I can't take coming soon page down. I can't start posting on social media. I can't start inviting people to discovery calls. I can't start even talking to people in coffee chats until the copywriting is done. That's a lot of power.
It's so much power. And you said it like 5 times. I can't start.
Yeah.
Like that's huge. If you feel blocked by the words, that's stopping you. You can't start. You can't start doing all the things that we talk about in the podcast and, you know, we mention on social media, right? Like that's a huge blocker because there's a lot of things in our business that we feel like they have to be perfect before we get it out there and they stop us from moving forward. When in reality, like what you said, Karen, we're just giving those things power over us. And so today we are going to reclaim that power and we're going to talk about why copywriting is not the problem. And let's just dive into the things we want to talk about.
Okay. So why is copywriting not the problem?
I feel like the first, and to me, this feels the most obvious. It's that the people that want to hire us to build websites, to design websites, to develop websites, they're looking for the results of that work and the quality of our portfolio and of our sample projects and the work that, like the service that we're providing, not the language on our website necessarily. Now, that's not to say that you know, you shouldn't spell check and you shouldn't use proper grammar. But if I'm going to hire someone to take care of my lawn, I'm not so interested in how much they convince me on their page that I should work with them. I actually would like to see pictures of like before and after, or I want to know what their customer service is like. I want to know the price point. Like I want to get right to the info. And that is the experience that a visitor is looking for when they're entering your website to hire you for your work.
Yes, 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 yes. The imagery, I think, is a big thing. Like sometimes we feel like we need to have a lot of language on our website in order to convince people that we're good at what we do, when oftentimes a simple like portfolio sample or a screenshot or something like that, that showing the result of the work that you've done is actually going to help somebody make a buying decision, right?
Honestly, thinking about this whole lawn care thing has me thinking about other industries that are kind of similar in the sense of like why we're hired and how that hiring process goes. I'm thinking, I don't know why, about like hiring someone to make a cake for you. And would you rather go on their website and be like landing on this huge sales page that scrolls for like 50 hours and you're looking for the I just want to buy the freaking cake button and get on the phone with you and tell you what I want and see pictures of your beautiful cakes and read testimonials of the people that are like, this cake is the most delicious thing I put in my mouth. That's the kind of website and that's the kind of like simple copywriting we need, right? Like nobody needs to sit here convincing and justifying. That work needs to speak for itself. And that's the same. I love those quote unquote real world examples because it becomes very clear that that's not the type of wording we need.
Yes. You know, I love, love, love bringing in like correlations from other industries. I love talking about food. I love a food analogy. I love a fashion analogy. I love a hair analogy, right? It's like, again, my hairdresser, she cuts hair for women, like curly hair. That's what she specializes in. And on her website, it's just photo after photo after photo of different lengths and curl patterns and textures. And so it's like, without a doubt, that's the person that I want to work with. And then when you go to her services page, it's like, she's got 3 haircuts, tight and short, long and wavy, or like mid-length and like kind of coily. Which one are you? Boom. Book. It's like so simple, effortless, and there isn't a lot of copy, right? So again, it's like you're trying to sell something that has a very clear, obvious result that can be displayed. You actually don't need as much copy as you think you need, right? So it's that less is more.
And also, I do think that it comes from, you know, this desire to overcompensate and justify and convince maybe comes from a lack of confidence in what we're offering, whether it be the pricing, the packages, the process that we offer. Last episode, we talked about owning the space. If you don't feel like you're fully owning the space, you might end up saying 15,000 extra words just to basically get around to, hey, I develop websites. because we're overcompensating, because we're not being specific. I shared this with Karen earlier. Like, I failed a writing class in college because I would be so verbose and I was just like going on and on. And they're like, get rid of all of this, be concise, because when you're doing something technical, like, you need to just be as specific as possible. And what we're doing can sometimes be like that technical side, but also more importantly, we just need to tell someone what we're doing. And this is not to say that you need to like devoid your website of all personality, not at all. But it does mean that you don't have to have like a 5-paragraph essay about, I don't know, Karen, what are the kinds of things that people are writing copy about on their website that just like literally could, it's just like cut all of this. If we're thinking about your favorite Tim Gunn, he's like, edit that.
Okay, so I'm going to lean back. I'm going to put my finger up to my lip, just like Tim Gunn. I'm seeing a lot of stuff, especially, okay, for example, like on a services page, before I even get to the services, like that, maybe like 2 or 3 column section where you have like the packages, there's at least 5 or 6 text blocks of a web designer talking to the person and saying, hey, I know you. Business is hard. You need a website that's going to do this for your business, blah, blah, blah. I got you. And then let's talk about this. Like, you know, all of these things, like, I can relate to you. It's a lot of like, I can relate to you. I see you. I know what you need. It's this very interesting pattern because it's like, it almost feels like it's speaking to somebody who needs to be convinced that they need a website in the first place. Right. So it's a lot of like convincing type of language.
Which people are not going to your website looking for your service, like on your services page, wanting to be convinced that they need a website in the first place. They are there to potentially hire you. I think we need to remember the mindset of the person that's coming in, right? They are not trying to be convinced that they need a website. They are trying to decide if you are the right web designer or developer for them.
So I'm seeing a lot of that type of copy. And then I also see a lot of frequently asked questions or stuff where you kind of have to search around for things where it's not really clear. Like, hey, if I'm on your services page and I'm trying to know how much something costs, it should be like big and bold. Sometimes it gets buried because maybe there's a little bit of lack of confidence around the selling. So it's like you're trying, well, actually it's going to cost maybe this amount. And, you know, it's kind of going to be different for everybody based on your needs. And, you know, maybe if you feel like this is a right fit for you at this time, like scheduling a discovery call might be the best option for you. So I get it. Like, you're trying to make a big decision and an investment in your business, and that's really scary, but I'm here for you to talk when you're ready.
Totally, Karen. Yes. And also, okay, the stuff that you're saying, I think all of us can think like the whole, like, I hear you, I feel you, I have the solution for you, blah, blah, blah. That is all coming. We all know where that's coming from, right? That is coming from the people that are telling us we need long form sales pages, long form conversion copy to convert someone into a paying customer. But that's a completely different business model. That type of business model where you have a long form sales page and it's got, you know, who is this for? Who is this not for? Things like that. It really is intended for more passive business models. I know even for our mentorship, we have a landing page where someone goes to it and they can uncover the program details. And we really cut that down because we were like, we do not need this to be like some long thing. We just want to talk to people. We want to talk to them, see if we're the right fit for them, and then go from there. And that's the same workflow that your potential customer will be going on. They want to get on that discovery call with you and understand if you're the right web designer for them, right? And so if we have these long form sales pages, those are really intended for more automated businesses. You know, things like selling a course totally make sense. We're not at all saying that copywriting is not an awesome skill and definitely something to pay for the right business model. Totally makes sense. But if we're in the business of relationship building and what we're trying to do is get someone to get on a discovery call with us, the fastest way to do that is to just give them the link, right? To just like have it there super easy for them to see on your website and like cut all the extra noise that is convincing and justifying. If you want to put something on your website, like display your work.
Yes. Okay, so you said a whole lot right there, like a whole lot of goodness where I was just like, let me try to remember how I want to respond to this because there's like 3 different things in there that you said were so good, right? Okay, so first, you said something about like you don't want to like What did you say? Devoid your whole website of like anything?
Yeah.
First, you should have words on your website. Like, we're not some sort of esoteric, pretentious New York art gallery where it doesn't even have a sign out front. You don't even know where if you're stepping into the right place. Like, people who land on your website need to know what you do, who you serve, et cetera, right? Like, in the previous episode, we talked about identity statements. It would be a good idea and very helpful and very hospitable for you to have language that's like, hello, welcome. I'm a web developer who does this type of work for this type of industry or client. That's enough right there. That's enough. Get started. Book a call. Here's my work. Here's a little bit about me, like my values, my mission, why I do the type of work that I do. That's enough. Brief, concise, effective. Maybe throw in like a little word that applies to you, like, let's go, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you infuse it with some personality. So you do need words, especially in terms of like guiding someone to book a call, inviting them, like making invitations, right? But we don't need as much as we think. And then the other thing that you said, which I think really bears repeating and deserves a little bit more time, is the business model thing, right? Because I even feel like it's the long form automated copy that we are so used to even is like influencing us, because it's like, well, that's what they're doing, so that's what I should be doing. Like, we've all seen the sales pages where you scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you look at 50 different testimonials and it's for you, it's not for you, blah, blah, blah. The reason why that language is so verbose is because the person selling you something is never going to talk to you in person. And they're trying to convince you to buy a one and done thing. And then they never talk to you after you've purchased, right? So again, it's that one to many model versus what we do, which is one to one service providers. And we see it in long form email marketing, and we see it in very long Instagram captions and things like that, where the whole reason why that language is so verbose is because no one ever plans on like actually talking to you. But we're not in the business of not talking to the people that hire us. We talk to people. We make personal one-on-one connections. When we're in the project, we're constantly communicating one-to-one with our clients. So because of that, we don't need as much upfront sales language.
So true, Karen. Yes, because that's not the goal. Like, the goal of your website, we've talked about this on the podcast plenty of times before. The goal on your website is not to have someone add a web design package to their cart and check out. The goal of your website is to have someone book a call with you so that you can, or, you know, however it contact you via your contact form, however you accept an inquiry so that you can create a proposal for them or give them their price point, give them the contract and all of the things that you need to do, because we're running businesses that aren't just add to cart, because the goal is not to convert them to pay money and check out right there without any interaction. We don't need miles of sales copy to get them on the call. So it's, again, it's so interesting, because I think a lot of us know this for our clients. Like, we can really help them see this is where you should put your calls to action. Like, you don't need this much wording here. You can keep it really brief. You know, this is the intention of this page. We're thinking about the strategy. But I think that kind of goes out the window when we're thinking about our own website, right? Hello, we did an entire episode on like being embarrassed of your own website. And so the important thing is, though, to remember why someone comes to our website in the first place. It's because they want to hire us. It's because they're interested in our services. It's not because they need, like, again, it's not because they need to be convinced that they need a website. And it's not because they need to check out before they exit your website. They just need to take some sort of step to inquire with you, however you do that in your business. It's so, so important. Again, we always say this, and I do think that repeating it is important. Recognizing what your business model is and figuring out if the tactic that you are interested in trying is actually in alignment with that business model. If it is, great, try it. If it's not, just be aware that the results might not be what you are expecting.
And like a couple layers beneath that, like when we really start to like pick it apart and tease it out, I feel like as women, we don't always feel like we have the authority. Sometimes that can make us feel like, well, if we just say the right thing, then we'll win somebody over. If I just make them like me through my clever, flowery language on my website, then they will want to choose me and they will want to book that call because I've won them over, right? So there's an element of like people pleasing in there and trying to be perfect and trying to be very likable, right? Like I know we hear the whole, the know, like, and trust factor. So you're trying to get them to know you and to like you and to trust you.
But what if we did that on the call with them where you can actually have someone know you, like you, and trust you? Do you think that there's a part of us that is maybe afraid to get on the call, afraid to converse with someone one-on-one? So we're hoping that by writing enough language that convinces them, we can avoid that. Like if they just, you know, we can establish all those things and then all they're going to want to do is pay us.
Yeah, but let's think that one through a little bit farther. You still have to get on the call with them and talk through what they need for their website and create a strategy for how that's going to work and ask them questions, and you have to give them space to ask you questions. So you can only front load so much on your website through copy to protect yourself from having to have conversations before it actually is not useful and it's too much and it's overwhelming people who are probably more likely to just get on the call if it was just like, hey, I do this kind of work. Here's an example. Here's a sample. Do you want something like this for yourself? Great. Book a call. Click this button.
Right. And we can't avoid it forever because if they hire us, we're going to have to talk to them. Because again, we've talked about this several times on the podcast and in our magic minutes on Instagram, that a part of the business that we're doing is talking to people because it's not an automated business. It's a one-on-one business from beginning to end, from the time when they're, you know, discussing potentially working with you to actually doing the project, to the offboarding, to the referrals. Like it's all relationships based. And if we're depending so much on this copy to do the work for us, I think that it's missing that piece, that personal touch that is so imperative for this type of business. And again, we talked about this, I think, when we were talking about email lists and how it is lacking that personal connection. It's also lacking that specificity, right? It's like when you send out a big email blast and you're like just talking to the masses versus sending a personal email to someone where you can be more intentional about what you're saying and cater it to them. Copywriting is the same way because everybody's reading it. It's not personal to the person that's reading. It's not like it updates with information about them. Whereas when you get on the call with them, you can have that more customized experience, which the whole reason this is important is because then you can charge more for your services. You can work with different people that you're more in alignment with. Like it is all in service of that.
I would also like to offer up the idea of like not relying so much or putting so much power on this idea of like the know, like, and trust and convincing somebody up front to like you. Because what if they can just know your work and like your work? And that's how they trust you.
I like that.
You know, it's like, again, when we think about business models and stuff, it's like sometimes this know, like, and trust factor that everybody likes to talk about and the automation and the one to many business models. A lot of those businesses are built on like personal brands and like the person is what you're buying into. The personal brand is what is influencing you to make a purchase. Whereas for us as web designers, it's like the work is what influences somebody to hire you. The samples, the examples. And so I also feel like sometimes we're using the language on our website to compensate for maybe the lack of examples and samples that we have. If we don't have a very large portfolio, we feel compelled to use language and copy that convinces someone like, hey, I know I don't have a whole lot to show you, but I'm actually really good at what I do. And I know you. I'm inside your head. Like I got you.
Too true, Karen. That's such a good point. I'm really, really glad that you brought that up. I think it would be important to kind of end cap this conversation with, okay, what do we do about this? Like, what do we do moving forward? If copywriting is not the problem and we want to take away the power from the copywriting, feeling like it is the blocker, how do we move forward? And I definitely think one of the biggest things that you can do is focus on your talents, which are designing websites. If you're a web developer, maybe it is fixing plugins and problem solving, and you can explain and display these things via case studies, via a great portfolio, like start showing off your work.
Yeah, show it, don't tell it. Keep it simple and maybe think about if you really need some copy, like where is that copy? Does it need to be in like convincing, persuasive language, or maybe it's the copy that exists in a case study for an example of your work.
Or on your about page, if you want to have them, you know, get to know you a little bit there, like you can put time and energy into creating copy for that if you wanted to. But also, I think that if someone's listening to this, and to your point earlier about like, they haven't worked with anyone, so that's why they're maybe overcompensating, here is our encouragement to you. Go start creating some samples of your work. This can be an entire podcast episode, and we have it as an entire class in our mentorship about creating sample projects and building out your portfolio for the ideal client or the ideal type of project that you want to be working on. But you don't have to hide the fact that you might not have a bunch of experience with clients with all this extra language. You can create portfolio examples, show off that you know what you're doing. Who cares that it wasn't, you know, quote unquote, for a paying client? You're still doing the work. What does that part matter? So show off that work. And so anytime you feel that drive of like, ooh, I just need to adjust the copy a little bit, put that creative energy, girl, into a great sample portfolio piece.
Yes, yes. Like if you're afraid that you don't appear as an authority in the space, as an expert web designer, create something that says, oh, this right here, the sample, this shows that I know what I'm doing, right? Because real talk, true authoritative figures, true experts don't have to tell you that they're an authority. They just show you and they show up owning the space, letting their work speak for itself. That's like real authority and that's real expertise.
Exactly that. And I do think that there's some inner work that has to be done too in order to really feel, we talked about this in the last episode, how confidence is like key with all of this. And maybe you're lacking confidence, whether it be in your skills or in your ability to get on sales calls or whatever. So maybe there's some inner work that has to be done to really move forward with that and grow in that self-confidence, right? Again, there's ways to improve those things. And we talk about this in the mentorship, like having an action plan before you go into a discovery call will make you more confident because you know what you're going to say and you can drive that call and you can be the leader of it. Practicing your skills via sample projects will improve your skills and will make you feel more confident in displaying that work. So you don't feel like you have to bury it all under a bunch of stuff. Knowing what your pricing is and why you're pricing it that way and knowing exactly what your packages are means that you don't have to bury that investment dollar amount in a bunch of copy. So it kind of like the copywriting thing, it's not only that it's not the problem and it's not the thing that's blocking you from doing success, but the overabundance of copy is smothering your success.
It's that thing that we've talked about on other episodes of the podcast where it's building from the outside in. Like everything you just said is building from the inside out. It's all the elements are aligned, all the pieces are there. So when you just put them into place, it's like you don't even need the copy. There's no space for the copy because all of the other stuff is already there holding the space and doing the work for you in a way, right? It's like you spend all of this time thinking about your copywriting on your website, but then you don't want to get on a call because you don't know what to say because you haven't spent any time thinking about that. Like you haven't done the work to get all of these other things in place. It's like the focus has been on this one thing that actually is not even...
It's a very external thing.
Yeah, it's not the problem.
Right, exactly. Copywriting is not the problem. So we hope you leave today's episode understanding that, man, I actually don't need to be obsessing over my copywriting. And maybe, again, take that energy and put it into something that will fuel your business more. And keep it simple. Keep things easy. And let the copywriting go for a bit. I love this idea of like, what if we just tabled this for later and we focus on things that might move us forward even more? You know, like we table things all the time.
We table things and also say, okay, well, if it didn't have this one thing, what else could I do to achieve the thing that I need to do?
Exactly.
How else can I achieve what I need to do without copywriting or an abundance and an overabundance of copywriting?
Exactly. So let go, take away the power from copywriting and go forth and conquer.
Yeah, that part. Hey there, listener. If you enjoyed the conversation Sam and I had today, we invite you to join the Making Website Magic community and continue the conversation with us. We created this space for web designers and developers who want to dig deeper into their businesses with other like-minded people in a way that's encouraging, safe, and brave. Inside the Making Website Magic community, you'll get access to exclusive content like secret podcast episodes, invitations to live virtual events hosted by Sam and I, and opportunities to ask questions and network with potential project collaborators. And it's free. Are you interested? Head on over to makingwebsitemagic.com/community to get started. See you there.
Thank you so much for listening to the Making Website Magic podcast. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. This helps more women just like you find the show. Want to dig deeper into these conversations with us? Head over to the free Tech with Intention community at makingwebsitemagic.com/community.
Remember, you are more capable than you realize. Until next time, go make some website magic.